The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Well, all righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday as we ramp up another week of covering the great sport of Kings Las Vegas style right here from our studios here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. South Point Studios, of course, broadcasting over the YouTube outlet, YouTube, South Point Studios Streaming Network. Here we are. And we welcome you to the show this morning. And all of those of you listening to us on the radio as well as our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 M. The anchor stations here in Las Vegas for the play-by-play of both the USC football games and the Rams football games in the NFL. We welcome you to the show as well as everybody else out there who gets us on the many different platforms that we have, like our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android, with the apps, the KSHP and the U2 apps that you can put on your iPhones and Androids and your Googles or whatever else you got there, and, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the show for this Wednesday, an important week leading up to the Breeders' Cup. Oh, yeah, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, aren't we? Breeders' Cup, now just 9 days, 4 hours, 33 minutes, and 53 seconds and counting until we start this whole thing for the two-day championships, the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. Now, they enter the horses on Monday. Monday was the closing day to enter horses for the Breeders' Cup and for declaring what race you're going to go in. And if a horse, the owners think they want to go into two races, they don't decide yet. They just had to pick their primary race, their number one race. And now it's closed. Nobody else can enter in the Breeders' Cup. That's it. Done deal. Now, what are all the horses? We don't know until today. Today, around 9 o'clock this morning on FanDuel TV, they'll be unveiling all of the horses that were entered in the Breeders' Cup. That's stage one. All the horses entered in the Breeders' Cup on FanDuel at 9 a.m. and other outlets, including the Breeders' Cup website. You can go there as well. So they're going to be announcing this stuff early this morning, just about an hour after our show ends. And the Breeders' Cup Daily Racing Form Breeders' Cup Advanced Edition that has the past performances, every past performance of every horse entered in every one of the Breeders' Cup races, including history, trends, etc., handicappers. It's a bada-bing edition, no doubt about it. You got to get it. It's the most sought-after edition. The Breeders' Cup Advanced Edition should be coming out sometime today. We'll get the latest from Rich Eng when he joins us a little bit later on. And then you get out your marking tools, you know, your pens, your colored pens, your Ouija board, anything else you got, and keep hammering away at that advance. Little by little, you get through all of the races for the Breeders' Cup and get ready for the big day 1 week from Saturday. So today, the advance comes out. We know who's going in those races. And then, of course, next Monday will be the day of reckoning. That's the day that you declare what race you're going in. They'll draw the post positions for it, and then it is set in stone. That's it. That's the way it's going to be. And then our final handicapping goes to work, our final, tweaking. Of that. And that's just the way it is right now. Now, most of the horses are either in transit or some are on their way down to Southern California, Del Mar. The barn area, I believe, will be opening up in a couple of days there. If not already open, we'll find out from John Lindo a little bit later on that. And now I can tell you all the stuff that's going to happen here. I know you're going to get the people who have been watching this show day in and day out are going to say, oh, is he doing this again? But the deal is there's a lot of people that come in and out and watching our shows all the time. And we enjoy that. We enjoy the people that are coming here for the first time. So here's the deal. Coming up 1 week from tomorrow, on the 30th of October, we will be doing a special Breeders' Cup preview show here in the South Point Studios on YouTube, and only on YouTube. The Breeders' Cup special presented by the South Point Studios here at the South Point Studios broadcasting at the YouTube site at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Our seminar handicappers, Jonathan Hardoon and John Lindo and myself will be here. We'll have some guest handicappers that might very well include Vinny Bugliulo, Chris Andrews, who's the sports director here. And we're going to try to even recruit Mr. Colucci, Dwayne Colucci from the Rampart as well. So we're going to have some guest handicappers with us as well. That's 4 o'clock on Wednesday, 1 week from today, October 30th. Only here. The only streaming will be on the YouTube. All right, that'll be Wednesday. Then the next day, of course, will be Halloween. Everything will be going crazy then. And then on Friday, the first of the 2 days at the Breeders' Cup, after the early Breeders' Cup races, after the races are over on day one of the Breeders' Cup, the Stars of the Future edition of the Breeders' Cup, myself, handicapper Jonathan Hardoon, and John Lindo, again, will be doing our annual Breeders' Cup seminar in the Grand View Lounge adjacent to the Racebook here at the South Point. It'll start around 6 o'clock. It's the Grand View Lounge. It's a lounge that is set up for entertainment in the evening, so you'll be very comfortable and nice there. We're going to do that at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That seminar can be seen streaming at the South Point website. Go to South Point website. Go to the Racebook. There'll be a link there. You can see and hear the seminar if you're not here with us in the audience, okay? Only on the South Point website. That'll be the Friday night. And then on Saturday, the big day for the Breeders' Cup, we'll be upstairs in the Grand Ballroom with the huge movie-like theater-type screens and a bunch of smaller screens as well for the other racetracks running that day. You'll be able to see the Breeders' Cup there in the big ballroom with huge banquet tables. You can sit between 8 and 10 people there with all your betting paraphernalia, etc. Bring out your friends. Have a good time. We're going to celebrate Breeders' Cup. There'll be a big bank of betting windows. There'll also be kiosks up there if you like to bet through the kiosks. There'll be food and drink specials for you. And there's going to be prize giveaways, too, during the day in that room, okay? And myself and John Lindo and Jonathan Hardoon will be there. We'll be at our table playing the races along with you. We'd love to have you stop by and say hi to us. And let's all enjoy this great Sport of Kings, Las Vegas style, here at the South Point. I should say South Point style, because there's other places that may be having the Breeders' Cup that they charge you for everything. Not here. Everything I just told you is free. Free of charge, including parking your car in our parking lot. They do it the old-fashioned, the good old-fashioned way here at the South Point because they love horse players. So come on out and enjoy it with us, okay? All right, now that I got all of that out of the way, I think I got all the announcements that we need to get out of the way. A couple of things going on. We have an announcement now. John Lindo crazy yesterday, ran me crazy, and I know it raised the hairs on the back of Jonathan Hardoon's head as well. When the news came out, and remember, they just advanced wagered all of these horses on Monday. The news came out yesterday, less than 24 hours after they entered the horses, that one of the key horses in one of the key races have been scratched by the track and HISA veterinarians. one of the favorites for the Breeders' Cup, the $2 million Breeders' Cup Sprint. The Chosen Vron was denied running from the veterinarians. Simply put, they said he wasn't sent. This is the Chosen Vron. Six-year-old Chosen Vron. The horse that just wins all the time. Multiple grade one winning California bred Chosen Vron. Here's what the owner had to say. We're out of the race, but the horse is 100% sound. That's what the owner said. That's what the trainer, Mr. Eric Kruljack, said, who's the guy that takes care of this horse. He said they're out of the race. The horse is 100% sound. He said the track vets looked at him before, thought he was off. Some Breeders' Cup vet came in and said he was unsound. Heise, therefore, and there's nothing we can do about it. They've scratched the horse. That's the first of what I think may be other dominoes yet to fall. Big news on the Breeders' Cup before we even get to see who's going to be in the races, what post positions they got, and all that other stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff. But we'll keep it posted. I'm sure that Jonathan Ardoon and John Lendo and Rich Eng have something to say about that. Now, coming up this week across the country for stakes races, on Saturday, Belmont at Aqueduct will host three stakes races, two grade threes and one grade two. Horseshoe Indianapolis will have their Indiana-bred stakes races that day. The Indiana-breds will have six stakes races of theirs at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Mahoning Valley will have the Best of Ohio. They'll have five Ohio-bred stakes races on their Best of Ohio day there. Keeneland will have three stakes races, one grade two and one grade three. Santa Anita will have a grade two. And Woodbine will also have a stakes race on Saturday. As far as Sunday is concerned, Belmont at Aqueduct will have the New York-bred stakes races. The New York-bred stakes races for the day. Eight New York-bred stakes races on Sunday at Belmont at Aqueduct. Churchill Downs, which will open this week. Keeneland starts wrapping up this week. Churchill Downs on Sunday. Now remember, Keeneland's going to close on Saturday. Churchill Downs on Sunday for their fall meeting will have two stakes races, including one grade three. Santa Anita will have a grade three, and Woodbine will have another stakes race. Now, in addition to that, this is an instant horse player holiday day week because we have three significant carryovers to talk about this week. Today at Keeneland in the late pick five, there is a carryover in the 50-cent late pick five at Keeneland of $301,896. $301,896 in Keeneland's late pick five today. Tomorrow, Thursday, Belmont at Aqueduct has a pick six carryover of $124,239. Woodbine also has a super high five jackpot carryover of $86,072 on Thursday. And on Friday at Santa Anita, you have a pick six carryover of $153,105 and a super high five carryover of $27,023. Gulfstream Park also has a pick six jackpot carryover exceeding $75,000 as well. But the big carryovers this week: today, Keeneland's late pick five; tomorrow, Belmont at Aqueduct's pick six; and on Friday, Santa Anita's pick six. Big carryovers, multi-day carryovers at all those places on the big horse player holiday pick six carryover bonanza week as we head into the Breeders' Cup. Is that enough for you? I think it's enough for me, that's for sure. We'll get started with this show with Jonathan Ardoon standing by, Rich Eng, John Lendo. Jerry J will even be along with us to give us a thought or two. As far as the weather across the country today, it's a beautiful day here in Las Vegas, 58 degrees. We're going to get up to 88 degrees today. And this is the way it's going to be. We're going to be in the 80s and the 70s throughout. However, they tell us that Tuesday, the high here in Las Vegas is going to be 66 degrees. So it's time to get out the sweaters here. But 58 clear and beautiful today capping off at 88 degrees. As far as the weather across the country, 84 in Miami. You got 78 in New York. Chicago, 63. Los Angeles, 87. Phoenix, Arizona, 98 degrees. Still under 100 degrees now there at Phoenix, Arizona. And Oklahoma City, 88 degrees there. And as far as the precipitation across the country, it looks pretty darn good as well. Nothing to talk about from coast to coast, from the Gulf to the northern borders. Okay? We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we'll take a look at a little bit of what happened on Sunday that caused all of these carryovers, and then we'll start cranking away with the racing menu and our handicap. So don't go away. We're just getting started on this Wednesday. By the way, join us at YouTube, South Point Studio streaming at YouTube. Get there, subscribe. It's free, subscription's free, and then start chatting away on our chat box. They're active in the chat box. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, taking a look at what happened on Sunday, causing all those carryovers today at Keeneland in the pick six. The pick six that had $190,970 carryover in the pick six going into Sunday at Keeneland. Winners of the pick six prices, $3.44, $26.80, and then a $55.68 winner, $55.68. Coupled with Luis Saez and Eddie Canelli in the sixth. Seventh race paid $29.92, so you can see how that pick five is already starting to flirt with a carryover. And then in the Dowager Stakes, Chop Chop wins, Luan Machado aboard. That was Machado's second win of the day for trainer Brian Cox, paying $9.62, outrunning Forever After All and Anatolian in the Dowager. And then the last race winner paid $25.14. That gave us a pick five carryover going into today. The fours, four out of five, on Sunday paid $1,572.37. Now, those were the prices in the pick six and the late pick five. But somebody put together the winning combination in the pick six. That paid $790,485.81. Bada-bing. Wow. All right, at Belmont at Aqueduct. Let's see. The Chad Brown won with Flavian Pratt in the Chelsea Flower Stakes with Opulent Restraint, paying $3.50 as the favorite. Rare Art was second. She's Our Tiz was third in that one. And then Flavian Pratt got his second win of the day in the seventh race aboard a Christopher Lamont trainee at 4:20. You had Kenny McPeak and Kendrick Carmouche getting together for a winner in the ninth race, paying $8.90. That was Carmouche's third win of the day. He won the first two races, completing the early double with an 11:40 winner and a 6:20 winner. And then in the 10th race, Jose Lascano got his second win of the day at 14:20. Nobody had the pick six there. The pick six prices, $8, $30, $40, $4.20, $24, $8.90, and $14.20. Nobody had the pick six. The fives paid $1,258. The late pick five there, however, was hit. That paid $24,610.25. And then on at Santa Anita, I want to thank Jerry J. and Rich Eng for the winner of the second race on Sunday at Santa Anita. Amas Rapido got up in time paying $5.60. Jonathan Ardoon gave us a winner in the fourth race with Uncle John with Antonio Frasu paying $5.60. And as far as the pick six was concerned, pick six started with a $24 winner, $5.60, $9.20, then $6 even, $21.40, and $24.60. That pushed the pick six into a carryover for Friday. Five out of six paid $2,771.80. Juan Hernandez had three wins on the day. Antonio Frasu had a couple. And that was it on Sunday that produced all of those carryovers for this week. Let's get started with your racing menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook, simulcast centers, and racetracks around the country. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. So if you're listening here at many here in the Pacific time zone, these will be the first post times that roll out in our racebooks here in the South Point right behind us. And anywhere else here in the Pacific time zone. If you're in another time zone with all those platforms that we have, adjust it to the Pacific time zone. There you won't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Pacific time zone first post times. All right, we begin our racing menu with Parks Racing. Now, Parks Racing has a Pick 5 jackpot carryover today of $18,551. Their first post time is at 9:40. Following that, we got Mahoning Valley Racecourse. Mahoning Valley has their first post time at 9:55, 9:55 at Mahoning Valley. Following that comes Keeneland Racecourse. Keeneland's first post time is at 10 a.m., and remember that late pick five, it's the last five races, not the early pick five, but the late pick five has that monster carryover of $301,896. It's a 50-cent bet. First post time at Keeneland is at 10 a.m. Then we go to Finger Lakes, upstate New York. Their first post time is 10:15 at Finger Lakes. Following that, we go to Horseshoe, Indianapolis. Horseshoe, Indianapolis has a first post time of 11:10. And then we'll go to Presque Isle Downs. Presque Isle Downs has a first post time of 12 high noon Pacific time. Following that, you got Delta Downs. They'll start at 2:50. 2:50 is their first post time at Delta Downs. Penn National will kick in at first post time at 3:15. 3:15 at Penn National. And then we wrap up the nine-track menu for today with Remington Park. Remington Park has a first post time of 4:30. That's your menu for today. All right, let's get started. Let's go out to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Wow, man, I'm telling you, we got action all. We got pools all over the place we can jump into, man. It's great.
Every day this week, you'll have something. Today you have Keeneland, tomorrow Aqueduct, and Friday Santa Anita. So plenty of action for everybody.
We're trying to build up our Breeders' Cup bankroll, that's for sure. Now, let me ask you before we get started with the news of the Breeders' Cup. In looking at those five races today at Keeneland, what's the difficulty of maybe hitting this with a reasonable ticket?
It's very tough, Ralph. You're not safe basically in any race. Maybe the race I give out on the radio, but other than that, they got a lot of hard races, full fields, you know, some lightly raced horses, some first time starters. Again, this is going to pay, whoever hits it is going to be rewarded nicely, because I don't think this is going to pay $200. This has serious pay all over it. So now, let's see what happens.
All right, we got $301,896 that will be distributed equally over the equal distribution of what they bet into today. So it's going to be a positive situation. Taking a guess, what do you think? Between $3,000 and $5,000, $1,500, what's the deal?
Million, you mean, in the pool?
No.
What it's going to cost to, I have no idea. It's going to pay a couple of thousand and up,
okay.
For sure.
All right, okay. Now let's get on to Breeders' Cup. I'm just going to say the Chosen Vron. You can tell me whatever you want.
Well, there's so many things wrong with this, Ralph. I mean, first of all, why are they scratching a horse like 10 days out? They know how he's going to feel in 10 days. That's the first problem I had with it. The second problem I had with it, if the trainer says he's 100% sound, the trainer knows this horse better than anybody else knows this horse. A vet that shows up one day and is going to every horse on the grounds practically has some sort of problem, I guess. You know, I mean, no one's 100% sound. It's like people. You wake up in the morning and you don't always feel so good. So to premature scratch him 10 days out, I think is ridiculous. The fact that this responsibility falls on one vet, at least bring a couple of vets over. Get more than one opinion. You go to a doctor, he tells you you need surgery. Well, a lot of times you go and get a second opinion. One opinion by one vet, I just think it's ridiculous. Not only that, this horse has been pointing for this. This horse is a fan favorite. This horse, the trainer knows this horse better than anyone else. He's had him since a baby. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And believe me, if they're scratching this horse, be careful, because there's going to be plenty of more scratches coming down the road.
Yeah, there are rumors, there are rumors out right now that there are other horses that have been scratched. But here's the thing. Just four days ago at Santa Anita, the Chosen Von went worked out 4 furlongs in 48 and 4/5 seconds, just 4 days ago. And secondly, I can't say, or unless you know for sure, that there was only one vet that made the decision. But according to Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority Rule 2241-A-1, covered horses placed on the veterinarian's list for unsoundness must remain on the list for a minimum of 14 days, which disqualifies them from running in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, the timing is perfect. The timing is perfect for him not to run. I was reading all over social media that it was one vet, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But from what I read, that's what I think it is. If I'm wrong, I apologize and I stand corrected. But, you know, between California, HISA and everything else, they're just being overly cautious. The worst thing that could ever happen for this game is a breakdown on Breeders' Cup Day. Mm-hmm. So, but you also have to use a little common sense. You know, you can't go overboard. And I think that's what they're doing. I understand they have good intentions. They're looking out to protect the horses, protect the game. But somewhere along the line, you have to draw the line and say, you know, enough is enough. And there is just no common sense left, I don't think. And that's it. I'm done.
That's all you have to say. We do know that they have a staff of veterinarians that are on scene for the Breeders' Cup. Whether they all took a shot and looked at them or not, I don't know. And like I said, you know, when you see anything on social media, you really do have to double check to confirm. But whatever the case may be, the horse just worked 48-4 not a couple of days ago. Doesn't sound like an off horse. Remember, he's 6 years old. He's an old horse.
Right. That's okay. The point I was making before. He's allowed to be ouchy a day or two after a workout. You know, that's why scratching him 10 days out, it doesn't seem right.
The thing is that you and I know I wake up in the morning and I'm crackling along until I get going, and I'm believing that maybe a 6 year old horse does too. But I can't work 48 and change, you know, for the distance. So I'm not gonna, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying I know they're going to be cautious. I know there's a lot of eyes looking at all of these horses, and I can just.
Shouldn't the trainer have some say in it, though? Shouldn't the guy that takes care of the horse and lives with the horse 24/7 have some say in the matter? He's not going to enter a horse if he thinks he's not sound.
Well, two things. One is the trainer should have looked at the vet and say, I've got more at stake than you do. I love this horse. I take care of this horse. He's been good to me, and I'm going to be good to him. And, you know, secondly, if the horse was to go out and break down, it's going to be tragic for the horse, but it's going to make the trainer look awfully bad for any other owners that might want to have horses with him, or the ones that do have horses. I mean, he has more at stake, and the owner has more at stake than
absolutely
just as much at stake as the sport overall does. So, but these things, this is the way it is. You know, in football, when you get a flag on a phantom call, you just got to move on with it, and then we will too. But I do agree with you here. That off the boards, as far as the odds are concerned, I guarantee there's going to be more horses that are going to be scratched by these veterinarians before we get into the Breeders' Cup. That's I would guarantee that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I agree. I mean, you know, every year there are scratches, and every year there seem to be more and more scratches. Again, they're getting extremely strict and making it very difficult, and it discourages people from really wanting to ship to California
in
general.
That's the other, byproduct of this. If you remember, not too many years
ago, Brown had a couple of horses. Yes, 2 years in a row, he had the same horse scratched.
Yeah.
And, people, they get turned off by this, Ralph. Let's be honest.
Well, I know that we're not going to see a nice throwdown in this Breeders' Cup sprint with the Chosen Vron being gone, and hopefully everything will be okay with him, etc. But, they're the ruling body, and that's what they say goes. In the meantime, we've got a big carryover at Keeneland in the pick five, so we need some help, buddy.
All right, let's look at the fifth race today. It's a mile and the 16th on the turf, and I like the number four horse in here, My Brazilian Girl. This is a three-year-old filly from the Kathleen Wadsworth barn. Julian Leperua aboard to ride. Draw a line through her last race when she was when the race was rained off the turf. She also may have bled in that race because today she gets the addition of Lasix for the first time. Her turf race is 2 and 3 starts back. Either one of them good enough to get the job done here. I like number four, My Brazilian Girl, to win today's fifth race out at Keeneland.
All right, a Maryland bred My Brazilian Girl, Julian Leperua for Wadsworth at 4-1 on the morning line is your play for us in that race. In the Jonathan comes in the race five with number four, My Brazilian Girl. And you can get the rest of what he has to offer as far as the pick five and everything else at Keeneland with Jonathan Sheets available at his website.
JONHARDOON.com. Yeah, thank you, Ralph.
Now you do realize that 1 week from today, we won't be seeing you via satellite. We'll be seeing you right next to us on set here, right?
Can't wait. All right. 1 week from today, counting down. Thank you, Ralphie.
All right, you got it, my man. All right, we're going to take our break, and we're going to come back. We go to Rich Eng standing by, and he'll give us his thoughts about what's going on. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Tunnel Stowers helps so many people. As a player of the Mets, I feel like for me, I have a responsibility to give back, especially to a cause that's authentically New York. And I just want to show appreciation for those brave men and women who really do a massive service, not just in New York, but everywhere. Hey, I'm Pete Alonso. Let's go Mets, and let's help the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Go to T2T.org for more information about how your donation can make a difference.
Thank you, buddy.
There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting T2T.org.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. They're chatting away on the chat box there at the YouTube South Point Studios site. And a lot of good stuff. People are starting to offer some picks for today at Keeneland as well. Talking about Chad Brown, He's approaching the $300 million mark in career earnings. He's got $299,980,856 going into today, as far as his lifetime earnings for Chad Brown. So what a milestone to get there. And looking at the single-year record, getting down now to the Breeders' Cup, and, you know, we get close after the Breeders' Cup, we start looking at records for different participants. Single-year stakes record, for a single year. Stakes record for a jockey is 79 wins in a year. Flavien Prat is sitting right now at 68. He's 11 away, and he rides three graded stakes races at Belmont at Aqueduct on Saturday. He'll have him out in the Mother Goose, the Bold Ruler, and the 49er Stakes on Saturday. Graded stakes record for the year is 55, and Prat is sitting there with 47 of those. So Flavien Prat, if he continues to do what he does, and this is way before the Breeders' Cup and all those great races, looks like he's going to be breaking those records, and it looks like that Brown is going to get past $300 million in earnings for those guys. Very formidable trainer and jockey in our business, that's for sure. Let's go to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rafi. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
All right, give us the latest on the Breeders' Cup Advance Edition, buddy.
Well, I've gotten a lot of calls into the office. I bought all the postage stamps yesterday and the envelopes. I'll be getting everything prepped today at the office. And then when the Breeders' Cup Advance shows up Thursday morning, I'll pack them all up and bring them over to the post office.
All right, so it's
one more day to order.
It's going to be the actual publication will be out tomorrow morning, not this morning, but tomorrow morning. You get all the entries and everything today when they announce it on FanDuel and other outlets, of course, in racing. At about 9 o'clock this morning, going to start going over the horses that were entered for the Breeders' Cup.
Yes, yeah, we'll print it today, and then tomorrow I'll mail them all out to all the people who ordered them, and really appreciate the folks who called in, Ralph.
And I also want to mention that for all of us who get our racing forms at our local, outlets, and certainly here we get them at the race book at the South Point, they'll be in those locations as well tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah, almost every race book in town is taking the Breeders' Cup Advance, and if for some reason you don't want to go to a casino, you can stop by the office at 6000 Southeastern Avenue, Suite 2B. We're kind of like at the end of the runway for the airport.
Now, why wouldn't somebody want to come here to the South Point race book and pick one of those up, especially with all those carryovers, especially with all those carryovers going on throughout the week? 301,896 up for grabs. In the 50-cent Lake Pick 5 today at Keeneland, and I know you have a Keeneland sheet covering all the races, Richie, but before we get started with that, anything that happened over the weekend in either college or pro football that piqued your interest?
Well, you know, I think the cream's starting to rise to the top, Ralph. You know, one note about the Week 8 in the NFL coming up this weekend is the fact there are at least 7 games where one team is favored by 7 points or more over another. Ah. So there's a possibility of some, favoritism, lopsidedness, so to speak, probably good for the remaining survivor players. And then the note that you talked about with the Keeneland, I can't believe somebody hit the pick 6 on Sunday but did not hit the pick 5 pool.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe.
That doesn't compute too well, but, you know, I don't know. I would think that, obviously the winner of the pick 6 had the race just before the pick 5, so he was already alive in the pick 6, I guess. Didn't want to go ahead and try the insurance with the pick 5. So it is, and we get get a shot at 300,000 plus today. What are we doing?
Race 3 at Keeneland, a mile and 3/16 on the main track, starter allowance 50. It's a pretty open race, Ralph, and I'll give a horse with a little meat on the bone. That's the number 7, Apollo Rising, 8-1 in the morning line. We got Christian Torres riding for William Walden. This horse he claimed a while back for $50,000. Extremely productive. The horse has hit the board almost every time that he's run, either in New York at the NIRA circuit or at Churchill, Keeneland, and Ellis Park. This horse, I think, is one of the major contenders. If I get 8-1, let's put all chips in the middle. Number 7, Apollo Rising at Keeneland.
All right, Apollo Rising, Christian Torres aboard for Will Walden. And I guess that is he a son? Oh, he's related to the Waldens, of course, the big Waldens in the breeding industry, right?
He's the son of Elliot Walden, yes.
Oh, well, so we got a lot of father-sons happening in sports now with the Lakers, huh? Wasn't that fun?
True. That was kind of neat watching that last night to see Bronny James and his dad enter the game at the same time in the first period.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. So we got an offspring training here at Will Walden's Apollo Rising, the 7 horse in that race there at Keeneland. Of course, it's the third race at Keeneland, number 7. And that, of course, is just one of the selections you have. You have the entire card at Keeneland, including that late pick 5, available right now at the racedaylasvegas.com websites. Get ready for your engines to start tomorrow morning. Get out there and get that advanced edition of the Daily Racing Form Breeders' Cup Advance. Thanks a lot, Richie. I know you're busy. We'll let you go.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
All righty. Coming up next, we'll have John Linda with us giving a report from Southern California, and maybe even Jerry Jackowitz to give us a thought or two about his betting strategies, etc. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas' top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
$1 million will be on the line for a field of top juveniles at Los Alamitos. It's the running of the Golden State Million Futurity on Sunday, October 27th. They'll be dreaming of riches, led by fastest qualifier, American Dreaming. This filly was simply sensational in the Golden State Million Trials. Plus, Lethal Cowboy 123 and Big Bang Rocket will be looking to repeat their big trial wins. And can Ultimate Battle win a Futurity after 2 runner-up finishes? The Golden State Million Futurity, Sunday, October 27th.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
Okay, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday as we ramp it up for a big week of racing. A lot of big pots out there and carryovers, and of course waiting for the Breeders' Cup Advanced Edition at the Racing Form to find out who's in and who's out, and maybe more out, we don't know, in the Breeders' Cup, and start our long trek of handicapping. And of course, they're going to be helped out there by our handicappers and John Lindo standing by in Southern California. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. I guess so it begins, huh?
Well, John, I understand, and Jonathan was saying on social media, and you always have to double check when you see something on social media, obviously, but we know about the Chosen Brown. That's an official out. But on social media, they're saying that there have been a few others that have already been tagged out, too. Any rumors there in Southern California?
I don't want to go with any rumors, Ralph. We'll wait till anything's official. You know, they'll make the announcements at 9 o'clock today who's entered. The pre-entries were Monday, so there was a lot of vet work done on those horses, looking at those horses on Monday at entry time. We'll see. But I don't know of anything for sure that is out, and we'll just wait for an hour or so and we'll get a better look.
Now, John, let me ask you this. The the veterinarian, the first one that said that he wasn't sound was a one that's from the California Racing Board, the Santa Anita, et cetera, in Southern California, and then was concurred by a HISA vet.
You're talking about the Chosen Brawn?
Yeah.
From what I understand, it was a Breeders' Cup vet.
Oh, Breeders' Cup, okay.
Somebody representing the Breeders' Cup went over the horse and decided they didn't like the way he traveled, and they scratched him. And, you know, the thing about that really bothers me, Ralph, they're taking the horsemanship away from the horseman. You have a guy here, Eric Kruljack, you know, who not only he bred this horse, the Chosen Brown, with his partners, he raised the horse. Mm-hmm. And you watch how he's managed that horse throughout his career. He's a 6-year-old gelding now. Whenever he's needed a break, he's gotten a break. If something's not right, he doesn't run. If things are good, he runs the horse. Nobody's going to know a horse better than Eric knows the Chosen Brawn. And, you know, you might want to consult with him as opposed to one guy who gets a look at the horse
I don't know if it was the first time he saw the horse, or he or she, mm-hmm. or, you know, they had something going on. But, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's been happening a lot. And it's something we deal with in California. I think New York is dealing with it now, too, quite a bit. And I understand the concern and for safety. But I think right now we're pretty far over the line on the other side of the fence, because I don't think that, you know, some of these decisions are really, I don't think they're right.
Well, now, John, you know, when you talk about that, we're talking about just like any other sports athlete, there are individual people and individual animals that can handle situations and aches and pains a little bit differently. Now, he's a six-year-old, and you know that he's going to, you know, be a little bit maybe gimpy now and then, but I mean, nothing more than just stretching and getting started for the day, so to speak. But how can they think that he was off when he worked 48 and changed just 3 days before that?
Well, you always do a post vet exam after you work a horse. You know, when work a horse that we own, 2 days later, after any kind of medications are out of the system, you jog the horse up and down the road, you have the vets go over them, and if everything checks the boxes, you go on to the next day. So there's a regular procedure and pattern that you use for that kind of stuff. And, I'm sure the Chosen Bronc has been on that along with all these other horses. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing you see, though, Ralph, and I think it tells you a little bit. Right now, the barn area at Del Mar, which has been open since Saturday, is pretty darn quiet. Guys like Steve Aswason like to come in early and get their last works over the racetrack before they run when they come out to California.
Yeah.
Well, they're not here yet. And you know, the Japanese are here because they have to go through the quarantine process and get through that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get the Europeans coming in because they have to do the same thing. But there's a reason why maybe some of these East Coast horsemen aren't coming out until the last minute. Maybe they don't want to deal with all these processes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could very well be. That's for sure, because we do remember what happened to Chad Brown a couple of times when we went down there at Del Mar, and he was not too happy about that. Neither was his owners and some of the players who would like to bet those horses as well. But, you know, the thing that bothers me is, like you said, they should take into consideration the input that the trainer has, because the trainer knows his horse's idiosyncrasies more than a vet can do just looking at the horse cold. You know, they know their idiosyncrasies, and it doesn't always lead to being unsound. It just leads to their individuality.
Well, you know, I know that if I play golf this afternoon, my elbow is going to be a little sore tomorrow. It doesn't mean I can't play golf in a couple of days. I know when I used to watch the Lakers play with Magic Johnson, you watch him walk on the court, he looked like an 80-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. But then he's out running around playing the game, you know, like a kid. So just because you warm up a little funny doesn't mean that something's wrong if that's what you do every single time. Yeah. You're looking for a change in what their patterns are.
Well, we will continue to talk and certainly debate about that, but we're looking forward to the Breeders' Cup and you coming out and enjoying all of the specials that we have for the folks here at the South Point. But today we got a big pot sitting there, 301,000 plus in the pick five, late pick five carryover, and you have a Lindo report covering all the races today at Keeneland. That's available right here at the South Point in our race book, free of charge, complimentary of the South Point to the players. It's the only place you can get Lindo's Lindo report today here in Las Vegas, right here at the South Point, because they love horse players. We'll take a horse.
Let's go to race number two at Keeneland. We'll try and get some pick five money. In race number two, interesting long shot, number seven, Ardita Mente. Kind of tipped his hand the other day in a gate work where they went 47 and change. He worked with a horse named Unlock Your Heart, who ran a good fourth against maiden special weights over the weekend. So I think the horse he worked with has some talent. This horse worked right with him. You know, this is a barn. He's stable local, or she's stable locally, so that's a good thing. Jareth Lubberry, who rides, is a regular rider for trainer Phil Sims. At 15-1 on the morning line, I think this is a better horse than it looks on paper. Number seven, Ardita Mente. Race number two, Keeneland.
Well, if that horse gets home at that price, we're going to have our pick six bankroll money, that's for sure. In the second race, number seven, Ardita Mente is the play, the seven in the second race for John Ludwig Keeneland. And since Rich Ang gave me the third race, I'm going to do a Scirocco Daily Rolling Double. I'm going to do the 7-7 Rolling Double from the second to the third race. And hopefully your seven will launch us into that that next race as well. Well, John, I know you'll be participating in that late pick five as well, so we will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Ralph. Good luck today. Hit that pick five.
I'm going to try to, my man. That's for sure. Let's go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
Well, we know that you don't do a Keeneland sheet, but I know that I had a few listeners ask me a few things. When you do your ratings for the power page, they asked me to ask you if either the trainer, the jockey, or the breeding has any influence on your selections.
Yes, yes, and yes.
And what type of weight do you give it? Like, example, you know, most of the time, I mean, the numbers will tell you most of it. But will the jockey, the trainer, the breeding have like a 5% weight difference or what?
Well, let's start with the trainer.
Okay.
Depending on the trainer will depend on how much I will factor in a big effort leading to a lesser effort. So, for example, if Chad Brown's horse ran a 70 on my sheet last time, on my speed figures last time out, depending on how big a top that is, I'm sure the lowest I would rate it would be 69 and a half. I'd probably rate him at 70 or 70 and a half.
Okay.
Whereas Rudy Rodriguez, who's right now about 5 for 60 winning, if the horse ran a 70 and that was a fairly high cyclical number, he'd be rated probably at 68.8 or 69, somewhere in that area. He'd probably get pulled down, assuming, you know, all things being equal.
Yeah. Okay.
As far as breeding.
No. We're going to wait for the jockey and breeding because we're up against a hard break. But you'll give us a little bit about the jockey and the breeding tomorrow?
Sure, why not?
Okay, because it's very interesting to see how the numbers may fluctuate with the jockeys, trainers, and breeding. But we have one more thing to say for today. And you're going to say it with that big carryover. Keeneland, go ahead.
Have a great race day, everybody.